And we welcome you in here on a Tuesday night from the West End in the comfy confines of Jack's Goal Line Stand. And we do this every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 o'clock. It's the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show. MU coming off their third consecutive win of the season. Holy Cross Columbia and the latest victim, Robert Morris, a thrashing of the Colonials 35-9. And right now, Mammoth has it going pretty good. Matt Harmon, your host for tonight, along with the head coach of the Hawks, Kevin Callahan. Coach, this is a Mammoth team that right now is certainly finding its stride. Three consecutive wins, and of those three wins, certainly this on the scoreboard, at least, the most convincing.
It was, Matt, and I think what you're seeing from this team is they're really starting to create an identity of who we are. We've been able to run the ball extremely well, and that's opened up opportunities in the pass game, and I think what you've seen is a defense that's improved and really gotten a lot better each and every week. Now we're starting to play together. We're creating opportunities for each other. The defense is setting up the offense in positive field position. They're creating turnovers. They're getting the ball back to the offense in the plus area, and then the offense is capitalizing on those opportunities.
Guests on the show tonight, including fifth-year senior safety Clark Coe, junior quarterback Brandon Hill, and Chris Valerio, the head coach of the next opponent for Mammoth, the Red Flash of St. Francis, Pennsylvania. That game coming up, by the way, this Saturday out in Loretto is a 12 o'clock kickoff, so we'll be on the air an hour earlier than normal. Coach, let's get back into this one. It was, kind of an interesting game on a lot of levels. We talked about this in our pregame show during the broadcast, the coaching matchup, which we spent so much time on last week. Before we even get into the game, I thought a really nice way for Mammoth and the football program here and the athletic administration to honor Joe Walton before the game, presentation of a plaque and just his commemoration of what has been a great career. I'm sure, you know, if you listen to the show each and every week, you know we spent a lot of time with Coach last week on our interview with him. So it was, I'm sure, not the way he wanted to go out, but I'm sure you guys had some nice conversation before the game.
We did, and as you know, Joe and I talked on the show last week and talked prior to the game. He's somebody that we've played since 1994. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Walton. He's a class guy. He's run a great program out there, and he's going to stay involved in the athletic department out at Robert Morris in a fundraising capacity. But we did have a great talk prior to the game and a few good words after the game as well. It was good to get a win, I'm not sorry he had to leave here with a loss, but it was good for us to get the win.
Such is the life in the way of coaches. Hey, good to see you again. And then on your way out, thanks for coming, especially
when you win.
When a win, absolutely. Some of the numbers, obviously, from the game against Robert Morris. That's not on the scoreboard, but defensively, Coach, and these were some numbers that you and I talked about on our Hawk Vision postgame interview. The rushing defense, which in two of the last 3 weeks, Holy Cross and now St. Francis, and Robert Morris going into St. Francis, Pennsylvania, less than 100 yards given up on the ground. On this day, it was 71 yards on 29 rushing attempts. That number, 2.4 yards per carry, that's pretty good, and it's going to win you or at least keep you in a lot of games.
If you play rushing defense that way, you're going to win most of your games. I thought our defensive front, the front seven, the defensive line and linebackers did an excellent job of containing the Robert Morris attack. I thought we had a good defensive game plan going into it. Knew kind of what we got what we expected, Matt. They ran the same type of plays that we thought we might see from them, plays that we had seen from them over the years. And to the credit of our players, they put themselves in good position and they made plays. And really, I think it was our best tackling game of the season so far. Very few missed tackles. We put people on the ground, had a couple of key fourth and ones that we made great stops on. And when any time you're doing that, you're going to put yourself in a position to win.
Now, there were turnovers back and forth, but focusing on the defensive side, one more week where, again, the defense continuing to make plays, a few sacks on the game, another forced fumble with the recovery and the interception by the guy we'll talk with later, Clark Coe. So the defense is doing its job. It's turning people over, and it's forcing teams into tough situations to convert first downs.
They are. And the other thing that we're doing is kind of the hidden yardage, Matt, and it's something that we keep track of on defense, is we're giving the ball back to our offense with a short field. And we consider anything from the minus 40 going in. So, in other words, a 60-yard field. We're doing that a number of times, and we chart those during the game, and we call that a win for the defense if they can do it. Figuring that if the offense has to only go 60 yards, the chance of scoring on that drive is 60%.
Now, three of the eight tackles for a loss were sacks. Darnell Leslie continues to kind of tear things up. Coach, he is becoming, and we had him on the show last week, he's kind of growing up almost before everyone's eyes a little bit. I mean, you think what he did against Columbia, then he comes back with 1.5 sacks, a forced fumble, and a recovery, which he all does in the same play. He really looks like he's just getting in that zone where it's almost like watching him doing the game on the radio. When he wants to get to the quarterback, he can.
Well, he's got amazing quickness, and he's a very strong player. He's somebody that we knew a year ago what we had in Darnell, and I think he's playing with a tremendous amount of confidence right now. He knows he's going to make plays. He gets excited about it. He loves when we get the opponent into a passing situation or a long yarded situation, and he really cranks it up.
That one interception for Clarko, who led the team with six tackles. Gary Onakuzi also had six tackles as well. So the run defense, very solid. And, again, the pass defense, even though Robert Morris was able to try and sling it around a little bit, I think just the mix right now that you guys have in the secondary as coaches with rotating players, it seems like at least the buttons you're pushing right now are working with matchups that you want.
I think it was our best game to date in the defensive secondary, not only in terms of Clark getting the interception, which I'm sure we'll talk about when Clark comes on the show, but the passes that we defended. Tevin Brandon probably had his best day of the year with four passes defended. We've got guys who are playing aggressively. They're getting their hands on footballs and they're knocking them away. And when you combine that with what we're able to do up front and putting pressure on the quarterback, then throw in the run defense that we have, you've got a pretty good mixture right there.
Now let's talk about just how this game kind of shook out a little bit. Did not start very well for Monmouth.
MU able to get
themselves, looked like, getting the football to begin, and then all of a sudden a block punt comes through and Robert Morris is able to turn it into some immediate points a couple plays after that and go up 7-0. You know, you almost think at that point, like, uh-oh, I would think in a way, because that's not the way anyone wants to start. Now, final score, obviously Monmouth proved to be the better team, but starting a game like that can sometimes give the opposition just momentum then moving forward.
It certainly can. You never want to start a game in a hole 7-0, and we went out and we had a 3-and-out on offense. We're forced to punt. We were in our own territory. We get the punt blocked. And then two plays later, Robert Morris is in the end zone. And, you know, certainly not what I had envisioned the night before and the week leading up to the game, to go down 7-0 that quickly. We did have a few mistakes on our special teams on Saturday, things that I think we've cleaned up and fixed or improved upon. But to the credit of our defense, being a whole 7-0, we did respond. You know, we first responded offensively and went down the field and scored to even the game. And then the defense really took over from there.
Yeah, there was no doubt that defensively things really worked out extremely well. You know, not to spend too much time on one side of the ball as opposed to the other, but 2 out of 13 third down conversions, that was the number for Robert Morris. They were 0 of 2 trying for opportunities on fourth down. And I thought the one time they went for it early in that first half, they went for a fourth down and Monmouth was able to stop them. It kind of, again, solidified the momentum that the defense continued to build.
It did, Nate. You know, I think getting that stop early added to the confidence of the defense. Stopping them on 4th and 1, or maybe it was a little less than 1. I think when the defensive guys came off the field, they were excited. They were confident. They really believed that this was going to be their day. And they continued that with that attitude throughout the remainder of the game.
Think now back to the offensive side of the ball. It's been the same kind of prescription for Mama's wins the last couple of weeks. That is try and be balanced a little bit more offensively, and on this day it was really the passing game that kind of carried things on the offensive side on the first half, and then the run game kind of taking over in the second half. Let's talk first half in this one before we get into the second half. Brandon Hill, Neil Sterling, not one, not two, but 3 times they were able to hook up for touchdowns to kind of set again the tone, which continues to loosen up the defense.
Well, we certainly had some big plays there in the pass game. Brandon finding Neil, and 2 of them were phenomenal catches on Neil's part. Great individual efforts after Brandon delivered the ball. And I think what that allowed us to do is take the lead into the half. In our offense, and this team believes right now that we can wear people down in the second half. what we have at the running back position and the way our offensive line is blocking enables us to really grind and wear on people as we move into the later stages of the game. And I think we've seen that. Not only we saw that Saturday.
I think it is a matchup to keep an eye on. That's the running back matchup this week, because St. Francis, Pennsylvania has one of the best backs, if not maybe the best back in the Northeast Conference, in Kyle Harbridge. But the two guys that you have right now running the football did what they have done almost seems to be the norm right now, because it is fourth time in a row that both Julian Hayes and KB Asante each go over 100 yards. That's not combined. That's each guy running the football over 100 yards.
Well, I think that's a credit to the type of running backs that they are, how hard they run. They're down 1-2 punch, and as soon as somebody appears that maybe they're tiring a little bit, you come in with the other guy. That's extremely valuable.
You know, one of the things that I think is almost kind of, I hate to say interesting, I'll say neat, because for lack of a better term, when you look at the numbers that the two guys have put together, they're almost pretty identical to one another. And I'll give you the example. Hayes this week, 104, KB 103. The week prior, 132 for KB, 123 for Julian Hayes. The week prior to that, Hayes 135, Asante 118, Hayes 106, Asante 103. So it's as you said, one guy in, one guy out. But when they're both in there, they're each just taking advantage of the opportunities that they have.
They are, and they're hungry to get into the game, and they know that when they get in there, the line's going to do a great job for them, and they're going to have opportunities to gain yards. And I think, as we saw last week in the Robert Morris game, as they're gaining yards and we're grinding away, all of a sudden we're going to pop one. And KB popped a 50-yard run in the fourth quarter of the Robert Morris game, and that's what we like to see. We're moving the chains. We have a tremendous advantage in time of possession, and we're getting the ball into the end zone.
Asante had two rushing touchdowns on the day, both coming in the fourth quarter after the three scores for Monmouth in the first half coming the same way on the scoring sheet. Brandon Hill to Neil Sterling, 9-13, 41 yards were the completions for the scores. Asante took it in from 14 yards out, and then, as Coach just said, from 55 yards out to ice that one away for MU. 35-9, the final score. The 9 points for Robert Morris, and I'll talk about maybe for you almost an opportunity to hamper away at the guys during the course of this week. When you say the game is split up into thirds, we won offensively, we won defensively, but special teams, we really didn't play as well as we needed to. All 9 points for Robert Morris, kind of coming off of Monmouth miscues, won the block punt that turned into seven, and then another safety on a bad snap.
Well, as you said, Matt, if you can win two of the three phases in any game, you stand a very good chance of coming away with a victory. We weren't happy with the way we played in special teams. It's an area that we usually excel at, and we didn't do that on Saturday. As you mentioned, their first touchdown came as a result of a blocked punt. Their second points came as a result of a safety, which really was a heads-up play by Eric Spillane. It was a bad snap into the end zone. He had an opportunity to possibly try and kick it away. He chose not to. He went down on the ball to give away a safety and really probably saved us 5 points right there. So, you know, I got to credit Eric with a heads-up, a senior-type play. It was a smart play, and I certainly credited him for that. But as you're right, in addition to those two mishaps in the punt game, we also had a penalty on a successful onside kick attempt. We had another penalty later on, and it just wasn't a clean game for us in the area of special teams. And that's something that we harp on all the time in an area where we really need to get better.
You know, it was interesting talking to people about the game and the win after, whether it was Saturday night or Sunday, or even a couple people I bumped into yesterday. They asked me about that onside kick. They said that was a little un-Monmouth-like. And I said, you know what, I think that was Coach basically saying we want to end this game and make a little bit of a statement and just kind of make sure that Robert Morris doesn't even have a chance to get back into this football game.
Well, at the time, it was still early in the fourth quarter. It was 28-9. We felt that opportunity for that kick was there. It's something that we had game planned for, and you know, we decided we were going to take advantage of it and we were going to go for it. And we talked to our team all the time about being aggressive and being confident and being on the attack, and that was no time in the game to lay back. It wasn't a sense of running up the score or trying to one-up Joe Walton. It was an opportunity to get a successful kick and go down and get more points, and we're going to try to do that.
When you think about the special teams unit as a whole, we talked obviously about the miscues, but I don't know how coaches kind of separate it. Is it done by units that come on and off the field? Because I thought coverage-wise, things were pretty good during the course of the day. So, you know, it's like you have a mistake here, but then you have a win here. You're 5-for-5 on extra points. So that part of the game went into it. But it was when you sit in those special teams meetings, is it we didn't have a good special teams day because of these mistakes, or do you take that unit out of it and talk about that a little bit more?
Well, you look at that unit unto itself, and, you know, in special teams, that's an area where you have to be perfect. A mistake in the special teams many times will cost you a football game, you know, or it will negate a big play. For instance, we have an offsides on the onside kick. That negates the onside kick. Now we have to kick it deep. If you have a breakdown on a coverage unit, it could result in a return for a touchdown, or you have a penalty on a coverage unit that brings a long return back. You really have to play flawless in that area. We were not flawless. We had two bad snaps on the day that resulted in all of Robert Morris's points. The good news, we were 100% on all of our place kicks on the day. Got a lot of points there from Eric Spillane. So there's good and bad. There's give and take, but our goal is to be flawless.
35-9, Monmouth knocks off Robert Morris to kick off a pretty light October when you think about what Monmouth has had so far, playing five games in the beginning of August and all the way through the month of September at St. Francis, Pennsylvania this week, home the following week on the 19th for Cornell on homecoming, and then the last weekend of October is the 26th. That is Monmouth's bye week coming up this year. You know, about this time of the season, I guess, Coach, you know, you're six in, so you're halfway through the year. It might be one of those times where you almost could say, well, bye week in a lot of years would probably be a good thing about now because we could use a little bit of a break. But I don't know, this is a Monmouth team that wants to take a break right now.
Well, I'm not even thinking about the bye week at this point. We've got two more games before that bye week comes up. And, you know, this team is very focused on really taking it. And I know this sounds a little cliche-ish, but really taking this season one game at a time. You know, we look at it as though we have six one-game seasons in front of us, and that's what our approach is going to be. You know, we haven't really accomplished anything yet. We're 3-3. We're even. We're 500. We need to be a lot better than that. We certainly have a lot of work to do. And although it was a great win on Saturday, and I congratulate our players and our staff for all the hard work that they've put in, you know, there's a lot of areas where we need to get better. In Saturday's game against Robert Morris, I felt that we left a lot of scoring opportunities out there on the field. We had opportunities to get the ball in the end zone, and we just missed for whatever reason. We allowed them to sustain some drives before creating turnovers where if we had done a better job, we could have gotten the ball back to our offense.
Now, the defense has been playing well, and we'll talk about that a little bit more from one of the guys who has had such a good season for Monmouth, the fifth-year senior from Hoboken, New Jersey, Clark Coe. After this quick timeout, two-minute pause on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. You're listening live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End on the Shore Sports Network. And we are back here from Jack's Goal Line Stand. Tuesdays from 7 to 8, we talk Monmouth University football here on the Shore Sports Network. Good job by Ray Malaspina in the studios of our network tonight, pushing the buttons for us. Monmouth coming up with a date Saturday afternoon against the Red Flash out in Loretto, Pennsylvania, from DeGaulle Field. Matt Harmon, Kevin Callahan here, and joining us for a couple of minutes is the Carteret graduate, Clark Coe, in his fifth year as a senior here for the program. Clark, good to see you again. How you doing?
How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing really well. It's good to spend a couple of minutes with you and talk about this Monmouth defense, which all of a sudden the last couple of weeks has become a force to be reckoned with. I know sitting in here for the first little bit of the show, you heard Coach and I talk about the numbers that the team is putting on. What has been the difference? Because if you take the game in blocks now, you had obviously three difficult teams that you played right against in the first half, and no disrespect for the teams that we played the last 3 weeks, but it has been a completely different defense we've seen against Holy Cross, Columbia, and Robert Morris. Tell us why.
Well, in the first 3 weeks, you know, we faced some good opponents, and it took a lot to get over the losses that we had, but Coach Cal just kept harping on getting better every week and getting better every week and just doing your job, you know, and doing your job right and doing it right as much as you can consistently, and it will produce on Saturdays.
Is there any level of during the course of those first couple weeks? You know, Coach has said he saw improvement from weeks one to week two, from week two to week three, even in those losses. What's the frustration level like for a player when you're out there and you see Montana State put up 42. Liberty put up 45. You know, there's not a sense of helplessness, but in those 2 weeks, the defense necessarily didn't play as well as probably had been prepped and planned for during the course of the week.
Right. Well, Coach Cal always says, come out strong, come out fast, you know, and we've been in the first 2 weeks, we were just, I didn't think we came out strong. We didn't come out fast. We didn't come out ready to play, and they kind of got up on us too fast, and then we were playing catch-up for the second half. So, I mean, the last 3 weeks, we've been coming out fast, we've been coming out strong, and just playing our best ball that we ever played.
I think one of the things that occurred or happened to this team in the first 2 weeks, you know, particularly out in Bozeman and then down in Lynchburg, was that we kind of felt our way into the game. You know, we played in some great venues, great atmosphere, big crowds, and we took the field. And I don't want to say we were intimidated by them because I don't believe that we were, but we were just trying to feel our way into the game. And you can't go into a football game like that. And my message to the team has been, just go out and be aggressive from the very beginning and just keep your foot on the accelerator all the way through the game. And to the credit of our team, I think what you saw that starting with the Lehigh game here at home, and then certainly at Holy Cross and into Columbia, and then again in this last game at Robert Morris.
Confidence level certainly has been high for a defensive unit, as we talked about in the first segment, that has given up less than 100 yards on the ground in two of the 3 weeks, Holy Cross and Robert Morris. In those games, Clark Coe, the fifth-year senior from Carteret, giving us a few minutes here on the Coach Callahan Monmouth Football Show. Clark, let's talk about you a little bit, if that's okay with you.
It's fine.
You don't have any problem talking about yourself?
Not at all.
You don't mind? Okay, good. So you graduate from Carteret. You go to Mount Ida College.
Right.
You play there for a year, and then you decide to come to Monmouth. You know, for a lot of people, maybe they don't know your story, but it's an interesting one. Anytime we have a transfer student to kind of talk things, even though you've been here as a player for now in your third year on the field, I know you had to sit the 1 year, but why leave where you were, and then how did you come to get to Monmouth?
Well, I started off going to Mount Ida. At first, I wasn't going to play football at all. I had pretty bad grades in high school, and Mount Ida wound up giving me a chance to play, and I wound up doing pretty good there. And I reached out to Coach Gabe my freshman year, and he talked to me, and I brought me down here, and I love the school, I love the atmosphere, I love the coaches, and I wound up coming here. And then coming here was a good transit. It was a tough transition, learning the defense. I never had learned a defense since playing high school. I never had a defense in high school, so I did it, learning an actual
system.
Yeah. It was kind of rough for me. But, I mean, once I got it, it was just a matter of just going out and playing and doing what I had to do.
Did Coach Gabe try? He didn't talk to you about bulking up and getting on the offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he usually does.
He talked to me all the time about that. I remember in spring ball, I'll never forget, he came up to me one time and was like, you're finally like a Division I athlete now. So I definitely had a lot of work ethic that I had to work on. And, I mean, that's just been my stride, my work ethic and just coming every summer and working hard and just my sit-downs with Coach Cal and getting better and every day. And here I am today working as hard as I can.
I'll certainly second that. You know, Clark is one of the hardest workers in our program. And it was tough coming in. As Clark said, it was a difficult transition. He came in. He really didn't know anybody. There was established players here in the defensive secondary, particularly at the safety position. But all Clark did was continue working hard, and I think what we're seeing this season is the result of all that hard work. In the Lehigh game, he strips the quarterback, takes the ball away from him, and returns that for a touchdown. He has a key interception in the Robert Morris game last Saturday, and he's starting to make big-time plays. And those are the type of plays that we expect of our older guys.
Right.
You've kind of had a good month. As Coach said, even in a loss, you kind of had, at least for you, a personal highlight. And I don't know, people don't like to talk about things during a loss, but first career touchdowns in that game. And think about what you did in that game. It was pretty interesting. Forced fumble, recovery, sack, and a touchdown all kind of in one play rolled together. As you kind of, and that was the first score of the game for Monmouth, as you crossed the goal line, Did you realize that was actually pretty cool what I just did, because you got four stats all kind of wrapped into one.
Wrapped into one. It was really amazing. When I got the sack, I ran in on the blitz, and the quarterback was a lefty, so I was blitzing off his left side. And he was going to throw the ball, and I went to grab the ball and him, and I wound up landing on top of him, but I realized I was still up. And all I heard in my background was, Clark, go, Clark, go. And I just started running, and, I mean, after that it was – touchdown from there. So
now, what's more special as a secondary guy, a play like that where you score or getting your first career interception, which you did last Saturday against Robert Morris?
I definitely have to agree with the sack, forced fumble, touchdown. That was pretty amazing. I mean, it was even funnier because I ran off and I was gasping for air. And all I remember Coach Cowles going, "Good job. Now get off on kickoff return." And I was like, "All right, Coach, I'm going." And it was like really just a rush moment, but it was awesome.
Well, sorry to put a damper on that. Yeah, part, but, you know, we do have to return the kickoff, and you're on kick return.
Definitely. So we do need to move on from there.
Coach Cal always keeping me focused.
Turn the page. Let's go.
Clark, that might be the line of the year so far on the show. I like that. Now get back out there. So now the ultimate for a guy in the secondary, I would think, would be the interception. And then a pick six, right?
Oh,
I
mean,
I know the sack thing was cool, but you're not a defensive lineman.
Exactly.
You want to pick it off and take it all the way
back.
That's
my next goal. That's my next goal, definitely.
Well, we'll see if we can take care of that over the course of the next six games for you. Yes. I would imagine just as a defensive unit, too, you know, that's been one of the reasons that the team has been able to turn things around in the last three games and go on this three-game winning streak. And it seems like we've seen a different defense, a more attacking-style defense.
Right.
You know, the pressure that the guys are getting up front.
Right.
Coach said he thought maybe the best tackling game of the year against Robert Morris.
Yeah.
Is it just where you guys have kind of found your stride a little bit more and you're playing with more confidence? Does that make a big difference on defense?
I definitely agree with that. I definitely think we're way more confident. I think we understand what we need to do out there now, and we're starting to learn that if everybody does their part, big plays will occur.
I think the defensive unit is kind of a microcosm of the team in that they're starting to find their identity in terms of who they are right now. They're doing a good job of stopping the run. Our front seven is doing an excellent job of controlling and fitting gaps up front. Early on in the season, we were giving up some big plays through the pass game.
Right.
We've done a much better job at that, and we're not giving up chunks of yardage at a time. We're controlling the run. We're forcing the opponent offenses into third downs and must-pass situations. Now our front four can turn it loose. Our guys in the back end can cover. And I think if you look at the third down conversions, that the rate that our defense is playing against right now, I think it's somewhere around 25%. And that's outstanding.
You know, Clark, you've kind of rolled yourself into that safety spot who can cover and a guy that comes up and plays pretty tough run defense as well, which I know is pretty important, especially when you see some of the teams that Monmouth has done. You're third right now on the team in tackles. So that I would think is part of the evolution of you becoming the player that you are as well. You know, I got to work on my cover skills, but I also got to come up and be a force and tackle.
Exactly. And that's what you need to do as a strong safety. I mean, we do a lot of rotating as safeties, and I'm usually the guy who rotates down. So, I mean, I have to set the edge. I have to get the force, and I have to know that I have cut back. I have to know that I have to curl flat. I have to know all my responsibilities. And with the interception, I just happened to be playing curl flat and saw the tight end release vertical, and I played under it, you know, reading the quarterback.
You're probably killing the audience right now. I love them, but the terms, you just went over the top of the head with a lot of the audience.
You know, to Clark's credit, you know, I've always believed that the safety position in our defensive system is takes a number of years to really fully understand.
Definitely agree with that.
It's not something you can jump into and have it down in 1 year. I've always said that it takes at least two seasons to really get comfortable in that position and to really have a great understanding of how to play it.
Right.
Now that Clark's been with us for a couple of years, I think what we're seeing is a result of that investment of 2 years in the secondary play.
I agree, totally.
And, you know, you think about the secondary as a unit, the guys who play corner, they're kind of the guys who are out there. They're on their they're on their own island.
Exactly.
You know, Monmouth, I think, with a pretty interesting mix of at least the guys who start the game, and obviously other guys have worked their way into the mix and play big roles back there.
Right.
But to have two fifth-year guys right now between you and Andrew Sutton, as Coach said, you know, learning the defense, there shouldn't be a whole lot of questions back there with the two of you guys. I mean, that's 5+, that's 10 years of college football playing experience.
Yes, yes. Me and Andrew Sutton, we feed off of each other. He's the brains of the operation. I'm the speedster guy. So, I mean, we go hand in hand. And when sometimes he makes mistakes and I correct him, I make mistakes, he corrects me. So, I mean, we definitely feed off of each other.
But again, it's two guys who've been in the system for a number of years now, who really understand what they're doing, and unlike corner, no offense to the corners, but that's a position you could probably learn within 2 hours,
right,
exactly what you have to do in
definitely
our defense.
Agree with that.
the safety position is one that there's a tremendous amount of nuances, even within specific coverages.
Right.
It changes based on where people are standing, how they line up, what
right.
the down and distance is. And there's so many little nuances that you can paralyze yourself sometimes thinking about all the things that
very
you have to do.
So, yes.
And I think early in your career, Clark, I mean, you did paralyze yourself
yeah,
at times.
You
froze. Emotion would happen. He wouldn't know what to do.
Right.
But he's overcome that. The game has slowed down for him at
way
that position
more,
right
yes.
now. And his performance is showing that.
Well, I've really enjoyed seeing you turn around because, I've obviously been here for a while, and you see guys get better from 1 year to the next. I think your improvement is a big reason why Monmouth's been able to turn this corner. You look like a totally different player than you have in years past. So continued, obviously, success for the rest of the year. Good
yes,
luck.
Sir.
Great winning streak so far. Let's make it 4 in a row this week.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Matt.
That is a fifth-year senior Clark Coe giving us a few minutes here. We will take a timeout when we come back. Hopefully we'll be joined by Chris Valerio, the head coach of the Red Flash of St. Francis, Pennsylvania. All after this quick pause, 60-second timeout on the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. Well, we hope in the next minute or so that Chris Valerio will call in and give us a couple of minutes of the fourth-year head coach from the Red Flash of St. Francis, Pennsylvania. That is Mama's opponent coming up this week. It will be yet another time. It'll be the 21st time that these two schools have matched up. Monmouth has won 17 of the prior 20, but for St. Francis does come in on a one-game winning streak in the series. That was a year ago here in West Long Branch as St. Francis was able to win a shootout game 45-31 2 years prior. Last time that MU was out in Loretto, that was also a high-scoring game, 48-45. Coach, we'll save some time for it towards the end part of the show as well, but at least on paper, this Red Flash team can score points with just about anybody in the country.
They can, and they've kind of had our number as far as scoring points in each of the last 2 years. As you mentioned, Matt, they scored 45 points in both 2011 and 2012 against us, and as we'll talk later on, they're a team that runs the ball extremely well, rushing for 233 yards in last season and over 300 yards the year before. They're a team that has given us fits, and you know we're going to have to take a huge step forward defensively to be in this game.
Well, got a couple of minutes to spare here. So, again, about 5 or 6 games into the season for most teams here at the FCS level. Coach, you and I were kind of perusing it a little bit earlier. The most recent top 25, both the coaches' poll and the Sports Network poll, of which I vote in, and a lot of the teams pretty similar. There's a couple of spots that have changed a little bit, but what you are starting to find is that now there are becoming less and less teams that are undefeated because it is so difficult to go through a year, obviously, undefeated. And right now in the top 25, you've got North Dakota State at 5-0, Towson at 6-0, Coastal Carolina at 5-0, Fordham at 6-0, Charleston Southern at 6-0, they're number 25 in the latest coaches poll, and that's it. I mean, that's not a whole lot of teams that still have no losses on their ledger.
It's not, and what I see there, Matt, is two Big South teams that we're going to be playing for the next several years right there, and Charleston Southern at 6-0, and Coastal Carolina at 5-0. And it is difficult. I think you're seeing there's a lot of parity in FCS football, and when you get these interconference games the teams, you know, challenge themselves with, it's extremely difficult to go through a season unbeaten.
And now it is starting to become, you know, that fun part of the year, and I say fun, of course, with Monmouth in mind as an independent. It is normally when all of the conferences start to match up a little bit and play week in and week out. This used to be a conference game for a very long time. No more. The matchup between St. Francis and Monmouth. And as we wish a good evening to the head coach of the Red Flash in his fourth year, Chris Valerio. Coach, Matt Harmon and Kevin Callahan here on the Monmouth Football Show. How are you tonight?
Matt, how you doing? Coach Kevin, how you guys doing?
We're doing good, Chris. Thank you for calling in. Much appreciated.
You know how I feel about you. I always said it's, you guys run the classiest organization there, so any time.
Coach, we're doing really well here in Jersey, and let's talk about things out in Loretto. Before you hopped on, Coach and I started to get into it just a little bit in terms of how your season has gone up until this point. I know record-wise, not where you want to be at 1-4, but we were talking about the offense that you have, and you can look at the numbers that you have put up, 38 points in your win against Lincoln, 20, 29, 2017. I mean, the numbers offensively and just the yardage that you've been able to pick up over the course of the first 5 weeks of the season, pretty impressive.
It's been good. You know, we have Kyle coming back. It's been good. But, you know, our issue is we're just making too many mistakes. You know, we're not finishing games. And, you know, obviously against, you know, we've had a lot of time to, you know, prepare and look at Monmouth game. And I'll tell you what, Coach, you guys, your defense is flying around. Your offense is big and strong. And I'll tell you, we have a great challenge. You know, it's a shame that Monmouth is not in the NEC anymore. I thought it was pretty sad when they left. But, you know, we're looking for a great challenge. And obviously, you know, they got two great running backs we got to prepare for also.
Should be certainly a game where those guys are featured. Let's spend a minute, Coach, if we can, talking about someone who's been so impressive, not just this year coming back from an injury as he had the red shirt, but Kyle Harbridge, who leads the nation right now in rushing yards, had such a big game against Fordham, close to 300 yards, and has already kind of worked his way so far up the record books of the Red Flash football program. He's now your all-time leading rusher. What kind of just player is he? And I don't mean numbers-wise, but when you look and see him, he's obviously not the biggest guy, but, boy, he does run hard.
Yeah, Kyle's a guy that, you know, he came from a wing T offense in eastern Pennsylvania. Like you say, not a big guy, not a guy that was on a lot of people's boards at the time. And, we had the opportunity to watch him a little bit, and we had him come to camp here, and, he took advantage of everything he had. And he's a guy that isn't afraid to work. He's not afraid to speak out, and, it's really paid off for him. He believes in the system. He bought into our system early as a young player, and, he's just been a tremendous athlete for us. Not only that, he carries a 3.5 GPA, so I know Coach knows if you got a guy like that, you don't have to worry about getting in trouble. It's a blessing when you have guys like that.
Well, you certainly don't, Chris. And, you know, he's just been a player that I've been so impressed with watching over the last years. You know, it was unfortunate that he incurred the injury and had to sit out last year. But, you know, just watching what he does, no matter who he plays against. And you guys have played a terrific schedule, you know, with, at the time, three top 20 teams in Georgia Southern, James Madison, and Fordham. And the numbers he's putting up capped off by 291 yards in the game in the game against Fordham. It doesn't matter who you guys play. He's getting the yards. He runs tough. He's got speed. He contributes on special teams. I'll be honest with you, Chris. I wish we didn't have to play against him.
I can say the same for you guys too, Coach.
Coach, when you do look back at Monmouth a little bit, you reference it, so I'll go back to it, talking about the rushing attack that you've seen on film that Monmouth has been able to put up the last couple of weeks with Julian Hayes and KB Asante. So, the one good thing is we could have actually a really fast game coming up on Saturday. If everyone just kind of keeps it on the ground, we could be back on the road by about 2 o'clock. But that has been kind of that's been the makeup of both of these teams. So I would imagine as Monmouth prepares here and you prepare out there, a lot of it is we've got to be able to stop the run and force the other team to pass.
You know, easier said than done, I think.
You know, both teams are very similar. Both teams, I think, and I'm not speaking for, you know, it's, you know, we're kind of more of a run-first type of teams. And, you know, guys that we traditionally, you know, we're kind of throwback teams when you look at both teams. And, you know, we've really patterned a lot of things off of Monmouth. When I came into this NEC conference, you know, I just really, truly believed in what they were doing. They do it the good way. They build guys in their system. They bring guys in their system, and that's the way to do it. And I just think, like I've always told Coach, and I know he's very modest, but, you know, I've always told him they're the most classiest organization I've ever been around. And a lot of things that I see out of them is what, you know, we envisioned for our team here at St. Francis. And we're kind of just taking the motto from them and just, you know, put it in place for us.
Well, Chris, I certainly appreciate you saying that, but, you know, we've had the benefit and a lot of the credits of what we're doing in the run game this year with our two backs is goes to Sam Dorsett, a guy that you know very well, and you had an opportunity to coach with you, and, you know, you were great when I made that call to you last spring to see if it was okay to talk to him, but it's been a great move for us, and we're certainly happy to have him.
I'm glad he's working for you, and you know, he's a guy that we knew that, you know, going into this, he knows our system pretty well, and obviously, you know, we all know what Sammy did as a player, so You know, we all have great respect for him, but, you know, I'm glad it's worked, and it's going to be very, you know, I think this is going to be a high-intensity game. Like I said, it's a shame that, Coach, I wish you guys were still in the NEC Conference because, you know, there's not many classy teams left, I can tell you that.
Well, thank you, but again, you know that, Chris, that was a decision that was out of our control.
The head coach of the Red Flash, Chris Valerio, giving us a couple of minutes here. Coach, I got two more for you before we kind of let you go and put a wrap on this one. You know, think about what St. Francis football has been. You took the program over several years ago, now in your fourth year. And last year was almost kind of a breakout year. Five wins, which was at that time the most wins the school had had since 1992. So it was almost like things had kind of turned the corner a little bit. And I was kind of putting my sheet together and getting ready for the game on Saturday. There are a lot of names that I recall from years gone past. This is a little bit more of a veteran team, so I would imagine expectations are even a little bit higher than normal maybe for this team this year.
Well, we do have high expectations. I think every coach goes into the season, you know, with high expectations. The thing is, we're still learning how to win, and we still don't know, you know, how to finish games yet, but it's a learning process as you talk to any coach. And you know, we came out very flat against a very good, tough Connecticut State team, and we paid for it. But, you know, it's a learning experience. It's a learning curve, and we just got to stay the course and learn from our mistakes. And as hopefully the program does get better, and, you know, we become a better program. But, you know, it's a curve that you just got to pound into these guys every day, and hopefully they buy into the system, and the faster they do, the faster things turn around. And, you know, that was one of the things about us trying to play up this year a little bit to try to, you know, show the guys what it takes to win a conference game.
Coach, and then finally, before we let you go, you know, obviously you had a long career, more than a decade, playing offensive line with both the Bears and the Bills, but really at heart you are a Pennsylvania guy, native of Hershey. You went to Indiana University of Pennsylvania, and I'm kind of remembering last week when we had Joe Walton on the show, just talking about how important football is out to that area. You know, you think football, you think Western Pennsylvania. So if you ever could get on that role, I would imagine the surrounding area in Loretto would really kind of get on board with it, because it is kind of a staple for the people out in that part of the state.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, football is definitely king here in Western Pennsylvania. And, you know, anytime you win and you can win, as any coach knows, it makes recruiting a lot easier. People sometimes knock on your door instead of going out and finding them. So, you know, winning there does cure a lot of ails. But, you know, we're just trying to get our foot in the door right now. We're young, you know, you know, we're looking for a great matchup against Monmouth. And obviously we know it's going to be physical, and it's going to be a physical game. And you know, these are the types of games that Western Pennsylvania loves. It's a smash-mouth game, and there's not a lot of hocus-pocus about it. So, you know, we're getting the guys ready and geared up, and I'm sure Coach is getting his guys ready. And, you know, we look forward to a great game.
Coach, we appreciate a couple of minutes here tonight. We'll see you on Saturday afternoon, the kickoff at 12 o'clock from the Gall Field. Good luck for the remaining part of the season. And, again, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes and adding to our show here in Jersey.
Chris, thanks a lot. Hey. Appreciate it. I'll see you Saturday.
All right, Coach, I'll see you. Hey, guys, thank you very much. Have safe travels, too, Coach.
Thank you.
That is Chris Valerio, the head coach of the Red Flash of St. Francis, Pennsylvania. We'll take a quick timeout here. When we come back, we'll talk some offense. And our final guest of the night, junior quarterback Brandon Hill, all coming up right after this 60-second pause on the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show, live on the Shore Sports Network. Our second New Jersey native on the show here tonight. We go from defense with Clark Coe to talking St. Francis football with Chris Valerio to finishing it up here tonight on the offensive side of the ball. And it is an offense that is red hot right now. After 21 against Holy Cross, wins over Columbia with 37, Robert Morris with 35. Those are the point totals. Brandon Hill, the junior quarterback, the transfer from UMass, good enough to give us a couple of minutes here on the show tonight. Brandon, good evening. How are you?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm doing really well. Good to see you, and especially always nice to have the quarterback on after the offense continues to play really well. Now 3 weeks in a row. You want to say 3.5, I'm okay with that because I thought the team played pretty well against Lehigh as well. But really the last 3 weeks, things have really clicked for this unit. As I asked Clark before why it's working so good on defense, I'll throw it to you. Why is it working so good on offense right now?
I think we had a very balanced offense. We've been throwing the ball pretty well, and our run game has been doing excellent. Our offensive line has been holding up well, and I think we've been playing very sound. You know, haven't been making too many mistakes. Turnovers in the last three games have definitely gone down, I think, to maybe one or two, and I think that's the key to our success.
Let's talk about the turnovers. You kind of opened the door for it for me a little bit, so I'm going to throw it out to you. The first couple weeks, it was a bit of a problem with some turnovers and some interceptions, but I thought you have handled yourself, number one, really well through the first 3 weeks, dealing with some difficult schedule stuff and maybe some mistakes that you weren't necessarily anticipating. But I think a lot of people forget that not having almost played in a whole year, it probably took a little while for you to kind of get football back in your system and that game speed up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I think I'm still, you know, gaining on that. And, the first 3 weeks were hard. I threw a couple interceptions, but you got to just keep your head up and keep moving and try to execute, you know, the best you can do.
What I think a lot of people don't realize either, Brandon, is you were not with us during spring practice. You enrolled in Monmouth during the summer. Your first experience with Monmouth football was in preseason camp, and then we went right into the season. So you didn't have that spring to kind of learn the playbook and become comfortable with everything. It was kind of on-the-job training for you, and before you knew it, we were playing the first game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel, like you just said, you're starting to feel more comfortable? Because each week, I would imagine, kind of has its own lesson with it. So you're midway through the point of your season here with six games in and six games left. If I said, how do you feel right now? Do you feel extremely comfortable, or is it still learning a little bit as we need to get going?
No, we have the base of our offense in, so I feel extremely comfortable in what we're doing. Like any other team, we're going to put in new plays every week to set up for the defense that we're going to face. But I feel like I understand the base plays and how we're doing, and I do feel comfortable back there.
Well, I can tell by the way that you're playing, the way that you're your body language and demeanor on the field, that you're much more comfortable with what we're doing right now, with what you're doing and how you operate within the offensive system. It can tell by the way you're throwing the ball and the way you're managing the offense that it's something that's coming to you much easier than it was, say, in week one or week two.
Yeah.
Which is good stuff for Monmouth. 96 of 172 so far this year for 1,200 yards even. Has thrown 9 touchdown passes, 3 of which came in the win this past week over Robert Morris. I know you and I had a chance to speak after the game for a post-game interview that aired on Hawk Vision. But let's, for our listeners that are joining us here tonight, maybe didn't see that. When you know that you have a target like Neil, and I know there are a lot of weapons on this offensive team, but he might be the guy who could bail you out of a lot of trouble, just thinking about his size and his speed and his athleticism. In that game against Robert Morris, did you know that you had matchups in all three times that you threw him those balls for touchdowns?
Neil's a phenomenal player. I do think any one of our receivers could have made the same plays. Just went the way it went on our offense, it went to Neil. He's obviously a tremendous player, and he can go up and get the ball and make plays happen. And he showed that last Saturday. But, I mean, I think kind of more it was just in the base of our offense to get him the ball, and that's kind of what happened. I didn't really look too much, okay, he's matched up on this single player, or, you know, let's take a shot here. I mean, that's kind of what the play call was. And, you know, we just executed it well, and he went up and got the ball, and, you know.
How much easier has it been in what we'll call this learning curve of you becoming part of the Monmouth program and feeling more comfortable week in and week out to have the rushing attack, which has kind of exploded the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, it makes my job a lot easier, especially having two great running backs like Julian and KB, and having a great offensive line, giving me time to protection. They're running the ball great, so it opens up windows for me, it opens up throwing lanes for me. So I can't complain at all.
It also makes play calling that much easier, yeah. Brandon, too, when you've got some weapons in the pass game on the perimeter, some guys that we feel can create some explosive plays for us, but, you know, throwing the ball down the field or turn around and hand it off to one of two terrific backs who are going to run behind an extremely good offensive line.
Brandon, there may be, and Brandon Hill, the Monmouth quarterback, giving us a couple of minutes here, one or two more before we let you go. When you think about the team as a whole, obviously you're focused on what's going on the offensive side of the ball, and you talk about the confidence level that you have as a quarterback, knowing you have the run game, it makes things easier in the passing game. I would imagine it makes things easier for the offense as a whole when you think our defense is playing as well as it is right now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the first three games, I think we struggled a little bit in field position. And since these past three games, you know, that's been one of our key, I think, integral parts of our success. You know, field position's been great. They've been giving us ball in great field position, letting us, you know, work the short field instead of a long 98-yard field or wherever it's been. But so defense has stepped up and played great. And, you know, that, again, makes our job as the offense easier. Well, you know,
and that's the area where offense, defense, and special teams all come together and all play together. It's that field position and where you start your drives at. The closer to the midfield and across midfield that you start a drive, the percentage of scoring on that drive goes up tremendously. We're starting on with an 80-yard field in front of you. You're going to score one out of 30 times. As soon as you cross the 40-yard line, you're going to score one out of 8 times. If you're going to cross the 50-yard line, you're going to score 4 out of 5 times. So it makes a big difference when the defense or the special teams can set our offense up in positive field position.
After transferring from UMass, Brandon Hill has this Monmouth team off to a 3-3 start. Week number 7 will be at St. Francis, PA. You've never been to Loretto, I'm going to guess.
No, never.
Well, you'll be there on Saturday, so enjoy your first trip there. Your first and maybe only trip that you'll take there. Brandon, thanks for giving us a couple minutes here on the show tonight. Continued success. Let's keep this roll trucking along. 4 in a row will sound even better than 3 in a row, Will.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Brandon Hill giving us a few minutes here. We'll take a quick 60-second timeout. When we come back, Coach and I will put a cap on this, talk about the game in detail a little bit more, all after this quick pause. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. All right, couple minutes to go here as we get set for Monmouth's Week 7 matchup with the Red Flashes of St. Francis, Pennsylvania. One of just two schools who went back in the annals a little bit. One of just two schools, and Monmouth has played each and every year of the football program here since starting back in 1993. So this will be matchup 21. And, Coach, as I understand it, the last, at least in the immediate future, on the schedule.
It is. At this point, we don't have an extended agreement to play St. Francis moving beyond 2013. That doesn't mean that we won't. It just means that, you know, we've kind of put on a hold on some of the former NEC conference mates moving forward until we figure out what the Big South schedule is going to be and how we can work things in.
I thought what Coach Valerio had said, when you almost look at the two teams, there are some similarities. Both teams love to run the football. Both teams are talented in the backfield, and both teams with pretty big offensive lines.
They are, and none is bigger than the St. Francis offensive line. You know, they've got a gentleman by the name of Lloyd Hill who goes over 400 pounds, and you would think at that size he would not be an effective football player, but he's very effective. And when you give the ball to a back like Kyle Harbridge behind a big line like that, he's very difficult to stop.
Maybe the biggest question mark that this team has had going into this year after a 5-win season a year ago has been the change in quarterback. They have a redshirt freshman, Max Ward, who's kind of taken over that spot. And just like Monmouth has done at points this year, having to lean on the run game a little bit more while some development at quarterback play.
Well, they are leaning on a run game, and why wouldn't you? You have Kyle Harbridge in the backfield. He's the leading rusher in the NCAA right now. I would give him the ball 40 times a game if he could take it that many times. They're very opportunistic in the pass game. They don't ask the quarterback to do anything outside of himself. It's very calculated what he does. They set up his throws for him. But he does have some explosive receivers who can stretch the field and blow the top off of coverages. So, you know, you want to get your safeties involved in stopping the run, but you've got to be very careful and very disciplined on how you do that, or else you're going to give up a big score over the top.
4-3 defense, just as Monmouth plays. Their biggest guy on the defensive side of the ball, one of their returners, Bishop Neal, an outside linebacker, a guy who can wreak a lot of havoc. And, again, as I put my board together, together for this week. There are a lot of guys back from that team a year ago, so experience kind of spread out, especially on this mix on defense.
It's a team, not only just under defense, but it's a team in general. They're coming of age. They're not playing with all the younger players that they've had to play in years past. Those younger players are now veteran, experienced players. They appear to have a great team chemistry. They're playing together. They get excited about what they do, and that's why they're having some success.
Well, you hate to say, you know, the old adage is you are what you are, but this is a pretty deceptive 1-4 football team through 5 weeks of the season.
It is, Matt, and as I said when Coach Valerio was on the phone, they played three teams that were top 20 teams at one point. You know, Georgia Southern from the Southern Conference, excellent football team. James Madison from the CAA, a team that has aspirations of going to FBS-level football. And Fordham, who's in the top 10 right now, and we've had the opportunity to see Fordham on film, and they're an excellent team. So, you know, they've played some great competition. I was surprised by the result of the Central Connecticut game last week. I thought that that was a game that St. Francis was going to win.
When you think about the schedule for Monmouth, 6-6 through the first half of the 3-3, I should say, through the first six games of the season, six more on the schedule coming up. And coaches, you said one game seasons basically each time out for Monmouth, playing as an independent. Week 7 with an opportunity to be talking here next Tuesday with a 4-3 and a winning record, another step in the right direction.
And that's how we approach the season, Matt, in steps. And I encourage our team all the time to take another step with what we're doing. The season is a process, and you have to work through the process 1 week at a time. You can't get too far ahead. You can't think about the last week. You've got to think about the business's hand. And no one will remember what we did in the last 3 weeks if we're not successful this week. So it's all about what happens this Saturday out in Loretto, Pennsylvania.
Well said, and it's a game you can catch with a pregame show starting at 11:45. That's a.m. with a 12 o'clock kickoff on Saturday from out in Western PA. Coach, always well put together show. Great guest here tonight. We'll do it again next Tuesday.
Thank you, Matt. Great job.
Kevin Callahan, the head coach of the Monmouth Hawks. Matt Harmon saying so long here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. Ray Malaspina back in the studios. Again, the kickoff, 12 o'clock out in Loretto, Pennsylvania. Monmouth looks to go to 4-3 on the season and take their fourth win in their last four tries. Thanks so much for joining us here tonight. We do it each and every Tuesday from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. You've been listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.